We want to claim what we believe at Daleville Christian Church, and so each service we have an affirmation of our faith taken directly from God's Word. And if you happen to have heard the Father's Day message, it's the same affirmation of faith from Romans chapter 8, because we're going to talk again today about fathers and children and the fatherless. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And I remind you, we are adopted to sonship because in the ancient world, sons were the inheritors of the father's estate. We are adopted to sonship because we will inherit the Heavenly Father's kingdom. The reading of God's Word today is from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Today's message is a sort of follow-up to last week's Father's Day message. We talked last time about the fatherless, children who grow up without a father. Even in our culture, those who have grown up without a father, like our own former President Barack Obama, who also grew up without a father in the home, those children, now adults, wished they had had a father. Even those, or especially those, who were without a father and became fathers, like former President Barack Obama, wished they'd had a father growing up. But there's no program that will make men be responsible parents. Such a program will never exist. Even child support in our country is a very flawed system. Perhaps you already know that if a father fails to pay child support, assuming that he has a job, if he fails to pay support, the woman must go back to court to attempt to force the issue. That too costs time and money. How many times would any of us go to that trouble? So we cannot, as a society or a government, make people fill roles that they refuse to fill. We can punish them for failing to do their duty, but we can't force them to do their duty to their families. What I might not have made clear last time is that dad's role in the family is so important that our God says that if you don't have a dad, God will be your dad. Dad's role in the family is so important that our God says, if you don't have a dad, God will be your dad. Our God says, I will be your dad. Psalm 68 calls the Lord Father to the fatherless. We proclaimed it last week, last Sunday, in Psalm 27, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Even Jesus told the disciples, and these are the words Jesus used, John chapter 14, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Jesus said, I will not leave you fatherless, I will not leave you as a motherless child. You won't be orphans because I, Jesus, will come to you. That makes dads pretty important, doesn't it? So important that God will step in if Dad walks out. In some 20 places throughout the Old Testament, there is a call from God to God's people to help the fatherless and the widow. We read in God's Word in James' letter, chapter 1, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So, wow, this is what real faith looks like. So says James's book. Real faith in action would be the faithful helping orphans and widows. I simply remind you that in the ancient world, those who were economically vulnerable, those who were most likely to live in poverty and in destitution, were widows and orphans. In the ancient world, the most likely groups to live in poverty were widows and orphans, those homes where Dad was absent. And our God, the God we worship, says very clearly in His Word, God says to the faithful, "There is one of your ministries." For God says, "I have a special place in my heart for widows and orphans. So if you love me, love the widows and orphans." And we have ancient writings from the time, just after the time of the apostles, that testify that the early church of Jesus did take care of widows and orphans. The gospel writer Luke remembers it as a task that Jesus' church took up very early. Luke mentions it, chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Today's Bible reading from the apostle's letter to Timothy deals with this very topic. Simply put, you here know how here at Daleville Christian Church we want to help people who really need help, people who have fallen through the cracks. So also did the early church want to help people, widows who really needed the help. And so the apostle addresses that need. Give proper recognition to those widows who are truly in need. Take care of widows who are truly needy. Take care of any widow who is really in need. Verse 5, "The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. Therefore, you who belong to Jesus' church are to minister to their needs." Now, you may feel that I'm belaboring a point. You may feel that widows and orphans are provided for under the laws of Social Security and survivor benefits for insurance, retirement accounts. Well, America has done well. But you know why, I hope, that America has done well by widows and orphans. Because we have been founded in God's Word. We are doing as a nation what God's Word calls us to do. And churches, if they feel anyone is falling through the cracks, Jesus' church can pick up the slack and cover the holes that people fall through in receiving care from the government. This has to be said because not all religions and not all governments take care of their widows and orphans. Not all religions and not all governments take care of their widows and orphans. In the African nation of Uganda, it is common when a husband dies that the husband's family, that is the in-laws, will try to push the widow off the property. Although the country is mostly Christian, there is a portion of the population that claim Islam, and there are still practitioners of traditional African religion. Now, in the nation of Uganda, the AIDS epidemic in some regions of the country has been particularly damaging. AIDS often creates orphans. If AIDS kills the husband, then there can be young women and children without a husband and father, and then the in-laws try to kick them out of their home. And while I'm speaking of AIDS, in Africa, the number of AIDS orphans, children left alone without parents because of AIDS, number those children in the millions. Number those orphan children in the millions, mostly in African nations. Is it morally wrong because so many cases of AIDS are sexually transmitted? Yes, it is wrong. But it isn't the children's fault. The children are victims. The children had nothing to do with their parents' deaths. Now these children, millions of them, are orphans. Our God says they are His. He will be their father if they will have Him. But back to widows for a moment. In America, widows' inheritance and property are protected by law. In most of the world, those rights are not protected. In most of the world today, those rights are not protected. And even in some countries, what the law says is not enforced. Cultural and local custom prevails. In Bosnia in the 1990s, ethnic cleansing created thousands of widows. 20 years later, they still work to find and identify and bury their husbands' remains. Husbands, fathers, sometimes sons, sometimes brothers. In many places in the world, widows are, as Jesus knew them, the poorest of the poor. The poorest people of the community. In some cultures still today, widows are outcasts. And you might say, but Pastor, this is tragic, but what can I do? Well, Jesus showed us. Jesus raised a widow's dead son to life again, giving the woman hope, economic hope. It states clearly in the Bible that Jesus had compassion on that widow. Luke chapter 7. As Jesus approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. And Luke is sure to tell us the details. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Her plight, Luke describes in detail. And Luke goes on to say, and a large crowd from the town was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her. When the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her. So let us, like Jesus, remember to have compassion for widows, wherever they are. First of all, the widows in the household of God, and then to all widows. Caring for widows is a gospel issue. It is a ministry that Jesus took on and demonstrated. Now let us not forget orphans, a group for which our Lord has special compassion. Let us make sure we look at orphans from the perspective of this God of ours who calls Himself Father to the fatherless. I read a fascinating reading of Jesus' parable of the lost coin. You might recall that Jesus tells three stories in a row, three parables right in a row. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, what we usually refer to as the prodigal son. First of all, notice that all three of the items that get lost are just obviously valuable. Money, livestock, and a child. No one would want to lose any of those, would they? And so Jesus' parable is about those who do lose these very valuable items. And surely no one would deliberately lose these items. The writer I was reading suggested that these coins the woman had were a part of her dowry. I don't know that there's any particular reason to claim that, but it was an interesting interpretation. But that would be valuable money indeed. More valuable as dowry money than the money itself might have been worth. To lose such a coin could delay the wedding or even postpone the wedding indefinitely. without the amount of money promised for the dowry in marriage. The wedding is in doubt. But Jesus gives us even more details on the coin's value. The woman who has lost the coin knows that the coin has not left the house. Now with me, if I know the item I can't find is still in the house, I don't consider the item lost. I say to my wife, Deb, well, it's in the house somewhere. It didn't leave the house, so we know it's here. So I claim it's not really lost. Misplaced, yes. Lost, no. Now, if there's a chance the item has left the house, then we're in big trouble. Then that item is lost. It could be almost anywhere. And I would declare the item lost to anyone who cared. The woman, as Jesus tells the story, the woman who has lost the coin does the following. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and searches carefully until she finds it. The woman does not simply trust her vision, nor does the woman trust her reach alone. The woman has a broom and a lamp which will illuminate the dark corners and the recesses of the house, help the woman reach under and beyond the reach of her hand. And so the verse 9 in that chapter of Luke, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, Jesus says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yes, notice that this is what God does when sinners are found and brought to Him. Also notice that in the person of the woman, the image of God searches for the lost. The commentator I read suggested that people, like this coin in Jesus' story, can be lost at home. In the story of the prodigal son, as you recall, the son leaves the house, leaves the whole country, as a matter of fact, and is lost. The coin is lost at home. My commentator said, children can be lost at home, neglected. Women can be lost at home, neglected, unloved. And God, who values those people, will reach out to them to make them His own. Generally speaking, the best thing for families is to have dad. Have dad around the house and involved in every family member's life. This we covered last Sunday. If dad is absent, the best thing for families is to have God present in the home. And to have Jesus' church working for the family. Working for the widows and the orphans, the divorced and the fatherless. Pastor Craig Thompson of Lifeway Ministries said this, "I'm convinced that every church can find a way to be a part of caring for orphans." I'm convinced that every church can find a way to be a part of caring for orphans. Here's Psalm 68, verse 5, and two other translations. God in His holy dwelling is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. Father of orphans and defender of widows is God in His holy habitation. I praise the Lord and I thank God and I thank Daleville Christian Church that we have had a daycare center at Daleville Christian Church for over 40 years. A support for single parents. And didn't I mention the number of children living in single parent homes last week? Or homes where the grandmother or grandparents provide 100% of the child support? That number in our state is higher than the national average. Technically, those children are not orphans, but I don't know that our God is checking the fine print. Those children do not have their parents. And what did former President Obama say He was cared for by his heroic mom and wonderful grandparents, but despite all their extraordinary love and attention, that doesn't mean I didn't feel my father's absence. That's something that leaves a hole in a child's heart. And I would be remiss if I did not mention the wonderful project that our Women's Fellowship group has taken on to pick up travel bags for children who have so little, including a permanent home, do not have a parent, and may be going to a foster home or are being adopted. We're providing them something to carry their possessions in. God's word says, "Father of orphans and defender of widows is God in his holy habitation." And God's word says, "My people, my church, will look after you." Amen.